Well, I'm a good friend and neighbor. We'll put our little records away for a little while anyway, and welcome some guests into the studio in a moment. Following the news update from ABC, Phil and me hoping all your trails are happy. This is WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin, and News This Hour is sponsored by the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There could be a deal in place soon in at least one part of the Middle East. ABC's Jordana Miller is in Jerusalem.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is set to convene his cabinet and vote to approve a U.S.-brokered ceasefire deal with Lebanon. Barring any surprises, the cabinet is expected to vote yes.
The deal calls on Hezbollah to move 20 miles from Israel's border and on the Israeli army to withdraw completely from southern Lebanon. Crowded skies, crowded highways this holiday of the 80 million Americans traveling at least 50 miles from home during Thanksgiving week. Most of them will be driving, and they will be enjoying gas prices that are considerably lower than last year. Special Counsel Jack Smith moving to dismiss all charges against President Trump because of the Justice Department policy prohibiting prosecuting a sitting president. The president-elect announcing tariffs against Mexico, Canada, and China that he says he'll impose on day one of his new administration. This is ABC News. A California judge pushing back a hearing for the Menendez brothers to argue their freedom till next year. The ABC's Alex Stone has their story.
It's become clear the Menendez brothers won't be getting out soon. Their attorney had predicted they would get out of prison by Thanksgiving, but that won't happen, and Christmas is out of the cards. The next hearing for them to argue for their release has been delayed until January 30th. Menendez brothers attorney Mark Garrigo saying here outside of court,
"We're hoping that by the end of that, or sometime sooner, we will in fact get the brothers released."
But next week, a newly elected DA will be sworn in. It's unclear how he'll move forward on the request for release. Alex Stone, ABC News, Van Nuys, California.
Federal court now weighing what to do about TikTok. At issue, the law that requires TikTok's Chinese owner to either sell off the platform or face a ban in the United States. The law is set to take effect in January. The decision from the court due next month. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The Bowling Alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
Sunshine at times and a high of 33, breezy and chilly today. West winds at 7 to 15 miles per hour. Some clouds tonight, a low of 21 with light winds. Wednesday, partly sunny and a few degrees warmer, a high of 36. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and chilly, a low of 20. Thanksgiving Day, partly sunny, breezy and cool. A small chance of flurries at night, a high of 31. And Friday, 26 for a high and partly sunny sky.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
How about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want four free phones.
Maybe I'll get
four free phones.
Four free phones.
Get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details. Here's another hint. Get $100 towards accessories with each smartphone purchase. Visit your local U.S. Cellular store in Richland Center, Spring Green, and Verona.
This Friday is your last chance for Black Friday savings at Town & Country TV and Appliance in Reedsburg and Richland Center. Save hundreds on a brand new line of ranges from Whirlpool featuring air fry technology. Get a dishwasher safe air fry basket free with purchase of these new ranges. Now's the time to schedule delivery of your new range, refrigerator, or laundry. Find previous model year closeouts in both stores, 206 East Main Street, Reedsburg, or 2490 Highway 14, Richland Center, and Town & Country RC.com.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. This Friday and Saturday, don't miss our Black Friday deals. 2 days packed with incredible savings, from tools to home accessories, and we've got everything you need at unbeatable prices. Stock up for the holidays or find the perfect gift. Hurry in because these deals won't last long. Walsh's Ace, your place for savings, selection, and service. In Richland Center, Muscadet, and Ace of La Crosse, and as always, we appreciate your business.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Thanksgiving is quickly approaching, and that means tasty holiday cooking, quality time with family and friends, and the start to the festive season. Hi, this is Julie from Robin's Nest. I invite you to stop in and shop our unique selection of one-of-a-kind finds for your home and browse our seasonal decor. Add a pop of color to your Thanksgiving table with a festive floral centerpiece. Order early for best selection. Delivery is available. Call 383-1616. Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers at the corner of Orange and 3rd, Richland Center.
WRCO Studios, proudly sponsored by the Richland Family Restaurant. Fill up with something delicious.
We're on with a morning show today from WRCO Radio. Today, we're on the topic of dementia and Alzheimer's. Pam Kohlberg, dementia care specialist, is here. Chris Gerber, he's a specialist in a lot of different avenues.
You know that.
He's here today as well. Good to see you, Chris.
Good to see you, Phil. Yep. Thanks for having us.
And good to have you on, Pam. It's been a little while.
Yeah, good morning.
We've had you on a few times, of course, talking about this subject, but seems like things are always changing in the field.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something new because I don't want people to get tired of it because it's a really important issue. But I think there's a lot of developments, and I'm really impressed that Chris is going to do a Alzheimer's Association fundraiser because they're doing phenomenal things. It's a really fast-growing field. They're looking at new medicines. They're looking at new ways to detect it. So there's a lot. This is a field that's growing really quickly.
Probably the first question people have, what's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
Yeah, and we were just talking about that. I think you have to think about it as kind of like cancer. You know, prostate cancer is very different than breast cancer, or, you know, there's different kinds of cancer because it's different parts of the body. Well, the same way with dementia. Dementia is like an umbrella term. It's just it can be any different kind of disease. So Alzheimer's is only one kind of disease that fits kind of the outside of the brain, but there's frontal temporal disease, there's Lewy body, Parkinson's can sometimes lead to dementia. So it's what part of the brain? Just like cancer is what kind of the body gets affected. And so that changes it. If you have Alzheimer's, you can't think of words. You have trouble, you know, maybe finding things or time and space. But if it's a different kind, like frontal temporal dementia, you don't have any trouble with memory. You know, you're fine, but you might have trouble with impulse control. So, or, you know, figure out how to process something. Or, you know, so every different kind has a different kind of behaviors that come with it and different kind of issues. And so just think of it like different kinds of cancer. And I think that people do get confused, like the fundraiser we're doing with Alzheimer's Association. Well, the Alzheimer's Association deals with all kinds of dementia. They just happen to pick the name. And the reason Alzheimer's is known so well, or that's the name you think of, is that 70% of the time, it was the most known. It's the one that is more likely to be that your grandmother would have, or, you know, it takes 10 or 15 years. So it's the most known and the most prevalent, but by no means are we finding out it's the only kind. And so now we're noticing that people can have dementia when they're in their 50s. They can have it, you know, different kind of effects. And so they're just kind of getting more details about it. And that's where, so the Alzheimer's Association will always tell you it's not just about that. But that's the primary focus because that's the one that people know the most.
Chris, why is this a pet project of yours?
Well, my mom. I lost mom in August. To Alzheimer's. So again, like Pam said, everybody that I've talked to has said, well, she has dementia, you know, or they have Alzheimer's. Well, my mom, who had Alzheimer's, and we confirmed that was her idea, was if she got dementia, count her dead. But now with Alzheimer's, it's not so bad. Even though really it was quite opposite for her, we saw the decline so fast. But I think it's just educating people that we're all under the same thing here, that if dementia, and then like Pam and I were talking earlier, my thing is now that I've started, and we'll talk about this later, is my tournament fundraiser, is that I'm getting approached more and more by people that have had family members and everything else go down the line. But I think also that it's becoming more prevalent because it's not just, oh, Uncle Joe, he had memory problems when he was, you know, he's always done that. He's always called people by a different name. And we hold off on not getting treatment or testing done to try to slow things down to where we can enjoy our families more and more and our memories more and more.
Talking about your mother, how long did she have Alzheimer's?
Well, we just had this discussion out there with Pam and I, too. And Pam and I have had numerous discussions since Mom and I, you know, went down this road. And if we look back, like my wife, Roxanne, if we look back, she mentioned even probably 08, she saw signs. So we're talking 16 years. But it's also getting family members on board to justify taking Mom in. And also getting my mom, who was a very strong-willed, independent woman, to go get tested. Because then if we get tested and we get results we don't want. So then I had to wait for the decline, which is also hard. So if we can get people in and get them tested early and try to get, like Pam said, there's numerous medications now and numerous things to come out to help people to get their livelihood to kind of level out and to be with family more. But yeah, Mom, we figure probably 08, but she didn't get diagnosed till 2020, and we lost her in 2024. So in 4 years, we went from her driving, her being on her own, her in her own house, to off the rails. I mean, it was pretty wild to watch how fast. And as a son, and then I became the guardian as well, you think you're okay with everything going down the process because you're at the end, you're like, okay, now we can have peace because we're not having to worry about phone calls. But that's where it's coming from for me, is just my drive. I made a promise to Mom at the end that I was going to do whatever I could to bring Alzheimer's to the forefront. Grace does a great job with cancers, does a great job with all of those. But if you look around for Alzheimer's fundraising, there's not a whole lot. And if you watch around, it's the one big thing for me is there's no survivors. There isn't anybody that says, oh, I've survived that diagnosis. Where there are with cancer, there are with other things, but Alzheimer's, there is no survival rate. And that is the big thing for me is where can we go from there to make it happen?
Yeah, you say that, and I went through a journey with my mother with dementia, but I think those of us that are left behind, you know, we suffer from that. I mean, it takes its toll. It's a lot. You mentioned phone calls. I would, every time the phone would ring and her name would show up, I'd be like, uh-oh, what's going on now? You know,
right.
I mean, you kind of suffer through those things too.
Well, and thank gosh I have, you know, I've been in the area a long time, so a lot of people know me, but I'd have, you know, I had Craig Huth one day call me and say, Chris, I think I saw your mom. I said, you couldn't have saw my mom. Well, she had it figured out. She was still smart enough to figure out the rotation at harvest to when somebody might not check her. She could get out the door quick, and she had her blanket with her, but she went to all the homes where she grew up expecting to see those people there.
Oh.
She was looking for all her high school friends while we sat at this fire pit with all our bicycles, or because my grandfather built 14 homes here in Richland Center back when my mom was young. So Mom would go visit those places, and that's where people would find her, or else walking through the park to where my brother lived on the other side. But Mom just was smart enough to do that, but the memory had affected her not to get back or be able to understand that she couldn't do that anymore.
Hey, you bring up an interesting point, too. The community helps out in a lot of ways sometimes, too.
Oh, and you know, with local law enforcement, of course, I have ties with that, but Lauren Moe, those all with Project Lifesaver, which I would love to talk with Pam on too, is we'll talk about here too, is a key vital thing for Alzheimer's and dementia patients, especially if you have them in a nursing assisted living care. Is Project Lifesaver is huge. So we don't have those phone calls like you've had too, where, oh boy, what are we talking about now? And especially with my mom's wandering tendencies, I had no idea. So that's why she ended up in a locked facility, because I had to have that. Well, there's nothing around here for that either, which I would love to work on too, and work on government bills as far as like there's many things I could talk about. I could talk an hour on just the things I go through with my wife being the manager of ADRC and the hurdles I had to personally jump over, because once they found out she was the manager of ADRC, all the social workers and everybody at ADRC are locked out of my mom's account. The only people you could go through is Capital Consortium with Medicare and Medicaid because of conflict of interest.
Oh. But I think it's interesting that you say that there's no survivors. And I think what we forget is that this disease affects the caregivers and the family members. So it's not only like, you know, what your mom's going through, but it's impacting you. The phone calls, the strange behavior. What I'd like to see is, I think there's awareness out there. I think people know about it because they hear about it, but they're terrified of it. And you mentioned the state. I mean, I went to legislators and each one of them had a family member. So there's a lot of things in Wisconsin that help people, like caregivers and stuff, because the people are aware of it, but they're afraid of it. And the fear is what drives people not to get tested, not realizing that naming a disease, saying what you had, like you said, you knew your mom probably had something wrong for years, but you weren't able to name it until like 4 years ago. And that explains a lot. Okay, she has this. Maybe I can give her some slack. Maybe I won't try and expect the same things I did of her. Once people have a diagnosis, or they at least know that something's going on, I think they're maybe kinder to the caregivers, hopefully, and maybe a little more adjusting to the person. But there's such a fear around the word. They say people fear the word dementia more than death or cancer. And it's that because people change. But if once you learn it, you realize it's not a death sentence. This person can't think the same, right? Their mind's been scrambled. They can't find their way home. But they can still enjoy life. I mean, you still did some incredible things with your mom.
Oh, I had many numerous times. But to go back on that, Pam, with the Alzheimer dementia thing, when we got mom tested in 2020, when we were talking around the round table with the doctors and everybody else, and we mentioned the word dementia, mom says, I can't have dementia. I'll die. I'll be just dead. I'll be okay with Alzheimer's if they come back with Alzheimer's. Okay. We went with that avenue just to keep her calm, because once you mentioned dementia to her, it was a death sentence to her. Right. Even in her mind, in the way it was like, oh, Alzheimer's is okay. I'll be okay there.
Right.
But dementia, no, absolutely not. So all the doctors, anytime when they would slip up, mom would go off the rails with the dementia thing. But then she would be fine if people just mentioned Alzheimer's.
Well, and I think it's because people think of Alzheimer's as older age. It's different than normal aging. You know, normal aging, you're going to have some memory. But people are so afraid of losing memory. We're so tied to what memory is. And sometimes I'm like, so you forget somebody's name. You ask them what it is. You forget where you're going. You know, like a lot of losing memory is kind of, you know, funny, or you just laugh it off, or we all go through. I mean, I just passed the 60-year mark. It's kind of funny all the things that happen and you laugh it off. But when somebody gets a disease from it, then let's really look at it. It's not usually just memory. It's also not being able to do things you used to do. It's not being able to find ways home, like think backwards. And so we want to protect those people. We want to be a village that kind of allows people to live at home, because people can live at home for, you know, as long as, you know, for most of the disease. And it's usually only the final year that somebody goes to a facility or whatever. So we want to say, okay, what's the quality of life? Now that I can name it, I have a name for what's going on. I know I'm going to expect phone calls, you know, over and over. I know this person's not going to be able what to do. Well, so then how can I have a quality of life? How can my family learn to be more in the moment, right? And be with me in a way that feels good, rather than, you know, constantly correcting me when there's no way I can do what I used to do. And so to me, kind of the survivors, the people we really need to focus on, are some of the caregivers, what you go through, from the strange things, or people finding them, you know, out wandering, or, you know, losing their filter and saying all kinds of stuff, or not remembering somebody's names of the grandkids. I'm like, does it really matter? I forget the names like, so how can we make quality of life? Let's stop fearing it and pretending it doesn't exist. You know, let people get diagnosed, and then they have a plan. And one of the big things we want to talk about today is that long-term care planning. When people are so afraid and they don't fill out their power of attorney for healthcare, or they don't prepare, you know, with a bank or whatever, when people don't do those things, crisis comes quickly. And you can avoid crisis by having things in place. And that's the thing that I see, sadly, is people haven't prepared. And so suddenly a big change happens quickly, and they can't they don't have things in place to handle it. And so we want to be kind to those caregivers and realize that they're kind of going through a heavy load. At the same time, we want people to prepare because once you know what something is, you can kind of deal with it better. And I think people, the more we talk about this, that's why I really appreciate Chris having this fundraiser and talking to people. Maybe it'll have more conversations and then we can say, you know, okay, so this thing exists, just like Grace did, right? Cancer exists. So what can we do to help people? How can we raise money? How can we give people the strength to be survivors, right? How, I mean, that's the wonderful thing, right? Around that disease, they've really put supports in. Well, let's do that now for people who are going through dementia. They have no choice. And let's realize it isn't an old person's disease, right? I know people who have what's called early onset. They're in their 50s. Still raising kids at home, and yet they've gotten this disease, and they're going to need extra supports. That there are many different kinds, it happens at different ages, and it hits people differently. So once we can sort of get beyond that, well, you know, I don't have this, but I have that. Once we can talk about it, then we can make, you know, we can live in a community that's more supportive. And that's what I did want to mention. You mentioned about Project Lifesaver and how awesome like our law enforcement is in this area. I just found out recently the police are going ahead to get what's called Purple Angel training. So they're going to be better respond. And the sheriff's office is getting trained in dementia. I do, I've trained banks in the community. There's some businesses around that I'm going to train so that when people are dealing with you know, scenarios where somebody's out wandering, whatever, they're going to know how to handle it instead of, because if you respond in a not caring way to somebody with dementia, they're more likely to run, they're more likely to get agitated. And I would like to say people with dementia don't get violent, they get agitated, because what we're doing is we don't realize we're setting off the disease that's making them get angry quickly. So if we learn how not to sort of set off an episode, right, then that person more likely might come with us. We might like more likely come home. So I really do want to congratulate the community, like the police are getting the special training, the sheriffs. We want to celebrate that, but more people need that. You know, all the banks need to know because there's financial scams that are happening. So once the community can sort of admit that it's happening and talk about it, like Chris is saying, then we can really have a conversation that's going to help people.
You have a support group. In fact, you're meeting later today with the Aging Disability Resource Center of Eagle Country. And I know you do that a couple of times a month, but it's later this morning, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, the fourth Tuesdays we have, it's a support group for any kind of caregiver, but it is mostly people with dementia. And the idea is that people need to talk about what's going on. I don't think support groups, you know, it's not therapy. You're not like bearing your soul or whatever. But people need to say, oh my gosh, the weirdest thing just happened to me. Or can you believe this has happened? They need to be able to talk about it, to state how they're frustrated, to laugh about it, to talk to other people going through the same thing. And so we have this awesome group on fourth Tuesdays. I also have a group that meets online first Mondays. There's one up in Soldiers Grove. There's one in Prairie du Chien. There's a fair amount of support groups. And that's one thing that Alzheimer's Association that we're going to arrange funds for, they do. They have a lot of online supports. And some of it, what is nice is that they have support groups, not just for somebody with dementia, but specifically Lewy body or specifically frontal temple. Because every kind of dementia shows differently, right? The way people act is different. And so you want to find, you know, people who know about your specific kind of dementia. And the other thing is that I'm just starting new, I'm glad you brought up, is that the people with dementia are real people, right? They're not people that are crazy. They're not somebody who's gotten old and doesn't know what they're doing. People with dementia are real people, and they want to be included. They want to have in-depth conversations. They don't want to be shunned by their friends or their family. They want to still participate in life. So I'm starting a group. I've met a couple of people who really want to talk to other people going through the same thing. So there's going to be a support for people with living with dementia to talk about it, because they equally are having a hard experience. They're being people are reacting. If people knew what they have, they're reacting differently. So they're afraid to talk about it. I mean, there's nothing sad about somebody who has a serious disease and suddenly they can't tell people because they're afraid of it. So people with dementia need to also have support. And so there'll be a support group for that. So let's remember that these are still people and that they have lives and they want to be involved and they want to keep doing things. When you get the dementia diagnosis, you shouldn't shut down. That's going to make your disease worse. If you stay at home and you get depressed or you stay on the couch or you don't leave your house, that is going to make your disease harder. It's going to make it worse. So you have to stay involved in church. You still have to go out. So we want to think about also not only how to support the people taking care of them, but the people who have the disease, who still can live a full life.
Recently, there was a note on the news about some breakthroughs in medication and drugs, and I think it was happening right here in the state. But have you heard anything about that, Pam?
Yeah, UW-Madison is known internationally around the world as being one of the biggest research centers. In fact, if people want to get involved in research, that's one of the things the Alzheimer's Association does, because we have one of the longest longitudinal studies about studying people before they even get the disease. And so there is so much going on with, they have now different drugs that get rid of the amyloid, which is a certain kind of, that's what makes the disease of Alzheimer's. But unfortunately, those drugs only help that kind of dementia, the Alzheimer's. You know, there's different drugs that help people with Parkinson's or whatever. So they still need to find other medications. So there is a new drug. It's still going through the process to make it affordable and all that kind of thing. But that means they're finding other stuff too. They're pretty soon going to come out with a blood test that diagnoses people. They're finding out how things like gut bacteria help you. There is so much on the cutting edge, and one of the main places is UW-Madison, and they work hand-in-hand with the Alzheimer's Association, and that's where the money goes. It goes towards research. It goes towards creating these supports. But it's a pretty, as far as the science of it, it's a pretty exciting time for what they're discovering. And so, yes, people are going to hear about this new kind of medication, but we're also learning a lot more about the brain and brain health and things that can prevent it, right? So it's really important that people know how being heart healthy affects your brain, about sleep is incredibly important, good sleep. All these things that are preventative are as important as the medicine, right? Now we know, that there's all kinds of lifestyle factors. I teach a class called Boost Your Brain and Memory, that there's a lot you can do that prevents it and that can help even when somebody has dementia, that can help slow the disease. So there's medicines that slow it down if you get the diagnosis in time, but a lot of these things only help you when you first get the diagnosis. So there's a lot of medicines that can help slow it down, but there's a lot of like lifestyle, you know, ways you stay healthy that can slow down the disease too.
With your mother, then you said you had a hard time getting her into the doctor to talk about this. And I think that's similar for a lot of people, Chris, is just not wanting to go, not wanting to admit maybe there's something going on. Right?
Yeah, and I think we need to come up with, you know, a better way to describe it, kind of like you're going into just an exam, kind of like your physical that you go as a lady or a male, that you go in for your normal exam, you know, oh, you're going in for your yearly physical or whatever. And like Pam says, I mean, of course, I'm a stroke survivor too, so that happened at a very young age. I was only 43. So we're starting to see Alzheimer's and things affecting, like Pam said, younger as well, or dementia younger as well. So is it something that we can describe to our parents or that generation as, oh, hey, we're just going to do this test. And, you know, it's not so much a dementia. We're just wanting to test things out to see where we're at and do those to where all of a sudden they don't hear those words to trigger, I don't want to do that test. I don't want to have that bad thing come back. You know, it's kind of like when you go in for a scan when they find a tumor or anything. Well, this one, there's nothing that they're even finding so far. They're just looking. Right. So is there a way we can do to draw the clock, to do the name recalls, to just get a general baseline early? And then later on, we become more and more educated as we take our parents in for their physical for that year. Hey, Dad, you got to have that physical, you know. So then we get tested and see if there's any differences from the year to year or 2 years or whatever it may be. Hey, the first year looked really good, so now maybe we don't have to do it for 2 years. We're not sure. But I'm looking at my mom who, yeah, she was very – but I didn't have the knowledge I have now. You know, I was battling through trying to get my left hand and everything else to work for part of it and to do all that. I just didn't have the knowledge. Thank God I came across Pam and I came across all of these knowledge things now to really start to learn And unfortunately for me, it's a hard part for me as I sit and go, how did I not help more? What could I have done earlier to make this last longer to where she'd have saw her grandkids now? And she's got now extra grandkids she doesn't really remember. So how could we have possibly tested sooner instead of just saying, oh, that's mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just her behavior. And she didn't remember us kids, and she couldn't put them in order. Or like I was telling Pam, she called me for 10 years at 3 o'clock every day. Hey, Chris, what are you up to? Well, my work schedule never changed. I was at work at 3 o'clock every day. But she just called me every day. So I, at that time, I'm like, oh, that's just mom. But at the time, was she really struggling to remember? And we never had those conversations. And the part that I really struggle with is siblings, is making sure all of us not saying, oh, it's just mom, or no, you're reading into things. I was the one here 24/7 for a lot of part of that. My brother then came from Hawaii and moved in. And then he started to really see it. But as I was trying to describe it to them, who lived in three different states at the time, of what mom, they're like, Chris, mom did that the whole time. Mom's done that. It's just mom. And I'm like, no, there's, you're missing these key factors. And you're missing, because I was around her 24/7. And then, so that's the other thing is we all have to, like, we can't be afraid. I think that was part of our whole problem, too, is we were afraid, what are they really going to find? And unfortunately, we know what we found in 2020.
Mm-hmm. And then as a person in your situation, too, it's scary for you, too, to know, like, what do we do next? Are we doing the right thing or the wrong thing? And yeah. Then possibly other family, outlying family members judge you like, oh, I don't know. Maybe
I mean, I was nine. I was nine when mom became a single mom. And
yeah,
she was my rock for, you know, my bowling coach. She was my catcher in Little League. I mean, I didn't have a catcher that wanted to practice, so she'd make me do it, and she'd put the mitt on and do all of that. And she was just that strong, independent woman that said, I'm going to prove it, and you're going to be a kid that plays sports. I'm going to help you do it. And she'd catch footballs and do all that. So, yeah, she was my bowling coach. And, you know, I coached her. And then it's just those things that you start watching. And then, like I was telling Pam, too, is at the very end, when you start seeing the behaviors get out of hand, you go, when you finally, I was with her when she passed. Personally, I was with her, just it was her and I sitting in her room when she passed. And you go, a deep breath of, okay, there won't be any more of those phone calls. But now when you're done, you wish there were so many more phone calls.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you want those phone, even if they didn't make any sense. I mean, Roxanne, she has a recording on her phone, a voicemail from my mom, crystal clear, about a year and a half ago. Crystal clear, somewhat, but it didn't make any sense, but at least it was there. It was probably 2 years now, because after that, she couldn't use the phone even. I mean, there's so many tools out there for that, too, that people really need to look into.
Yes.
You know, big button phones or pictures with, you can put your kid's picture in there for just that button for them to call. But yeah, it's when you lose that rock and you lose that stability, no matter what you watch them go through, it's really hard. I mean, yeah, if I'd have lost her in a traffic accident when she was going through it or something like that, it would have been terrible, but it's just as bad now. I mean, you've lost your mom and you go Thanksgiving now. And I mentioned that today, I'm doing a podcast. I do a Facebook thing and it goes on YouTube on my own as a project for my mom. But it's coming into the holiday season now. And, you know, lefse making was always a big thing of mom. And we'd get together and make lefse. And she's Norwegian, of course. And we did all of that. And her birthday is the day after Christmas. So it's kind of like all of these things coming up together. And you go, what could I have done to make her more peaceful? Because I know at the end it wasn't peaceful. I know it wasn't her. And I know she didn't understand. But I could the motions and all the jitteriness and all of that, it's not peaceful. I can't believe it is anyway. Maybe yeah. I'm wrong.
Well, no, and it's hard because it's patience for yourself as well as for her. I mean, she got pretty squirrely and agitated or whatever, but to give yourself grace, I think that's something really important with caregivers. I mean, you talked about siblings. I mean, families have to understand so you don't feel like you're beating your head against the wall. You know, caregivers need a lot of patience, that this is a really emotional disease. I think anybody getting a serious disease is emotional for the family, but there's so much shame, you know, kind of tied in that people I think really go through a lot of emotional changes that are different. So it's patience for the caregiver, but it's also patience for her. I mean, I think you really did well with like kind of being in the moment, kind of accepting, you know, the strange things she said, or, you know, letting her be, you know, say odd things and not reacting to it, that kind of stuff is. So I see caregivers needing a little more patience for themselves, as well as us being a little more patient with the people with dementia. Yeah. I did want to say, you said, what are some of the things we can do? I do think it's important that people get, like you said, yearly checks. At the ADRC, you can get memory screens done as kind of a baseline to see if there's changes. And sometimes it's something else. You can't always fear dementia. Maybe it's just you're having a change for a different reason. And I think I see a lot of people with neurological problems that aren't dementia related, but they're so afraid of the dementia that they don't get checked for the other things that could be treatable. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of books that the ADRC gives out. Because there's a particular book about siblings and when each sibling sees the disease differently and kind of pushes against each other. Think of all the family stress you go through when one, you know, one sibling doesn't believe what the other one's saying, or, you know, it doesn't have to be so hard if we all get on the same page, right? So there's a lot of resources at the ADRC I'd recommend, and there's a lot of things I think people could find through the Alzheimer's Association.
I think if you go to like Spotify or anything like that, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I listen to a lot of things online where if you're just driving, put it on, stream it in the car, except the Vibe. I don't think that has that option, Phil.
As a CD player.
Oh, yeah, we're out of that realm then, sorry. Yeah. No, but you just get educated as far as that go, and then as far as family goes, you know, being named guardian is not a prize award. Let's just say that you're not the... I was the youngest and I lived in town, but it's not a role that you are hoping for ever when you're growing up to say, please put me in that role. With all the guidelines from the states and all of that stuff. And as far as siblings and stuff go, don't be jealous of that person that gets put in that role. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in that role.
Right. But I think you talked about your mother teaching you how to bowl and all those kind of things. It's a circle of life because it comes back around and you're the one taking care of her.
Yeah. And, you know, thank goodness for her love of music or anything like that. The last few days was strictly sitting with the speaker on of, you know, Oak Ridge Boy gospel hymns and all of that stuff and all of Statler Brothers and things would all bring her down. The last day that I was with her was pretty much, that's all we listened to was In the Garden and, you know, a little talk with Jesus. That kind of stuff would bring her to where her breathing would slow down. And it was just wild to watch. Even I knew what state she was in, that it would just bring that peace over her.
So you learn some techniques to kind of help.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, and ways to connect with her. And I think that's the key is how can you as a caregiver connect with that person that has a disease? And then you're going to look at that. You're remembering these precious memories. So it was a rough road. I know that. But you also have those moments and you want to be able to create those moments and savor them. But yeah, and I really admire, I think we should talk a little bit about the fundraising you're doing because it's a good cause that you're working with.
We'll do that when we come back. Yeah. We'll take a time out and come back with it. And we'll talk about Marcy's Strikeout Alzheimer's, that benefit coming up soon here in our community, and we'll have more of the morning show next.
Black Friday is here. Living room sets starting at $699.99. Plus, free Pillow Cube kids pillows with any mattress purchase. Shop now at A-Plus Furniture.
The giveaways go all day at JCPenney's best Black Friday ever. Giveaways start at 5 a.m. with holiday snow globes and coupons. You could get up to $500 off. 9 a.m. is your chance to bring home a Cuisinart stand mixer. Plus, don't miss your shot at free diamonds at 1 p.m. Finally, at 5 p.m., grab a JCPenney tote. It gets you an extra 10% off every time you shop through Christmas Eve. JCPenney, make it count. Offers valid 11/29 while supplies last. Giveaways in-store only. Must be 18 or older. Deals excluded from coupons. See store or jcp.com for details.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette at the Prescription Center. Our new store at 930 Sexonville Road is great. We have room, windows, and the same friendly people. Thank you to all who have continued to allow us to care for you. Please remember to check when you register with your provider that the Prescription Center is your preferred pharmacy. At our new location, we are now able to be pet friendly. If you are riding with your pet, please bring them in. We would love to meet them. It is Part D time again. There are lots of changes this year. Large increases in deductibles, the ability for your Part D plan to cover your copays, so January is not so expensive, and changes to covered drugs. It is important that you check your coverage for next year. We will do that for free. We have our drive-up in place, so pull up to the door and call 647-8806. Paul will run or walk your prescription and pet treats out. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Do you enjoy working with a locally owned mom and pop business? If so, consider Meyer Oil and LP. We've been locally owned since 1956, providing propane, bulk lubes, and fuel. We have you covered. If you're considering a new fuel provider, please call Meyer Oil and LP at 608-524-3914 and see if we're the right fit for you.
This Friday is your last chance for Black Friday savings at Town & Country TV and Appliance in Reedsburg and Richland Center. Save hundreds on a brand new line of ranges from Whirlpool featuring air fry technology. Get a dishwasher safe air fry basket free with purchase of these new ranges. Now's the time to schedule delivery of your new range, refrigerator, or laundry. Find previous model year closeouts in both stores, 206 East Main Street, Reedsburg, or 2490 Highway 14, Richland Center, and Town & Country RC.com.
Attention auto mechanics. TC Auto Works in Richland Center is continuing to grow and they need you. They are hiring an automotive technician with 3 years of experience preferred and a strong work history. Enjoy highly competitive pay and a full service automotive repair facility with a fun, low stress, family owned atmosphere. Along with competitive pay, you will be eligible for a large package of benefits including retirement plans, paid vacation, much, much more. Call 383-1700 or pick up an application at TC Autoworks, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
Mark your calendars for December 7th and make plans to attend the Spring Green Country Christmas. You'll see several unique items to admire and the annual Spring Green Country Christmas Craft Bazaar, which is presented by the River Valley High School Boys Basketball Team. The event is held in the River Valley High School Gymnasium from 8 until 2. Maybe you'd like to be a vendor. Contact Darby Blakely at 608-588-2554, extension 2001. River Valley High School Boys Basketball Team looks forward to seeing you at its annual Country Christmas Bazaar. Saturday, December 7th from 8 until 2. Richland County Bank in downtown Richland Center has been a partner in creating opportunities for local people and businesses since 1881. That's a lot of different loans for a lot of different people in a lot of different circumstances, but all decided the same way by local people at your local hometown independent bank, the Richland County Bank. See what a local bank can do for you. Richland County Bank, downtown Richland Center. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home in Spring Green. Stop down to see the brand new addition to our company, Bed and Linen. Our professional staff will help you select the most suitable Wisconsin-made mattress by American Bedding. We also offer a full line of adjustable bases, pillows, and sheets that can significantly improve your sleep quality. Make the short drive to Spring Green today and visit the new Wirtz Bed and Linen or call 588-0202.
The Wisconsin Supper Club tradition has found new life at Kickapoo Creekside. From mouthwatering steaks and fresh seafood to a large salad bar and perfectly crafted old fashions, Kickapoo Creekside offers a truly exceptional dining experience. Choose from the menu or indulge in the chef's daily special. Dine inside or enjoy your meal outside in the fresh air. Visit Kickapoo Creekside at 827 West Kickapoo Street in Reedstown. Open Wednesdays through Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays starting at 11. Come and taste the tradition.
On our morning show from WRCO Radio, Pam Kohlberg is here, Chris Gerber as well. And Chris, you have a fundraiser coming up here the week after this.
I do. December 7th, Saturday, at the Bowling Alley Phoenix Center, Marcy's Strikeout Alzheimer's Baker Shootout. So it's the Marcy Strikeout Alzheimer's is the name of the tournament. I will have shirts there for sale. You'll have one to wear, Phil.
Oh,
I got you one.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, and thank you for having us on. But yeah, I've got, I believe, 45 sponsors total. Silent auctions stuff from Chassan Smoke. I've got a rocket stove. It's $300 somewhere in there that'll be on the silent auction. I've got golf packages from Prairie du Chien, Quail Run, Rutgers up where my mom and I used to work in Bay Lake, Minnesota. Strokers Dallas sent me a Rick Fairless sent me a t-shirt that's from there for the fundraiser as well. I've got PBA stuff coming. I've got a woman on the tour signed autograph cards for the silent auction. But locally, where you get your most support, I mean, I've got Badgerland Flooring, Jones Chevrolet, Anna Parks. I've got artwork. I've got a ton of stuff, bird feeders and bird seed. And it's going to be a great day. Going to have just a lot of fun. If you've never seen how a Baker tournament works, it's a 4-person team. The first one bowls the first frame. They alternate frames through 4 bowlers, and then it starts over again. We're doing 13 games, cut down to the top 7, and then 1,000 to win. So it's a big tournament. All the money that is paid by the bowlers is going back to the bowlers and to the lanes for having the tournament, of course, for their fees. But everything I raise on silent auctions, raffles, 50-50, is all going to the Alzheimer's Foundation. So it is a public welcome. Come have a great time. Come remember my mom. Share memories with me. She was a bowler here. She bowled with Marcia Mahatka and Elma Manning. Were both her teammates. They treated her so well at the end of her disease when she couldn't quite figure out which lane to bowl on. They just helped her along. And of course, everybody knows Marcia here in town, I think. And just the calmest person to have deal with my mom. When mom couldn't remember how to bowl exactly, she would just throw the ball, whatever. But she allowed them, mom's schedule, like we were talking with Pam earlier, you have to keep them on some form of schedule. Otherwise, if I just locked her in her room, we would have declined way sooner. It was on mom's terms when she quit bowling. She said, I can't do it anymore. I don't know. I'm just done. I said, okay. But then all of a sudden, it'd be, hey, Chris, when does bowling start? Mom, it's going to be a while yet. It's going to be a while. And then she just kind of would, but I never wanted to tell her it was over because I just never wanted to cross that bridge. And I think we get caught in telling parents when they say something, oh, that's not what happened. Or we start an argument with them. In their brain, that happened. Mom would have some wild dreams. Of course, her grandson being a deputy here in town and she saw a squad car or whatever, she'd automatically think of something in trouble, somebody's hurt, you know, whatever it may be. She had no correlation, but she would have the wildest dreams of, I rode a bus, Chris, from here to there. Well, here it was probably from when she's younger, I think. And she was mixing stories together, kind of like a big stew pot, is how I'm portraying it in my head. And she would relay them out. Oh, Mom, you know, that's really cool. But I would drive to Hudson, when that's where she ended up at the final here. And I didn't know if my visit was going to be 5 minutes, 25 minutes, or a half hour. I'd drive 6 hours round trip, but whatever it took. Whenever she said, Chris, I think it's time to go, I would go. I think instead of trying to stick around and be part of that and raise her anxiety levels, because if I did that, I tried it once and her behaviors went the wrong way. So I'm like, okay, when mom says it's time to go, it's time to go. And be prepared for your parents to say some very hurtful things sometimes. You know, I'm pissed off at you or whatever it may be. And it's going to come blunt. And you just have to prepare yourself for that. Because even no matter how nice your mom was or how loving, and my mom was the lovingest mother I could have, but she got blunt and would say, I don't like you because of what you did to me and you putting me here. I'm sorry, Mom. I really am. I agree with you. It wasn't best on my decision to put you here. I'm really, really sorry. And don't start that argument because they don't know. Don't argue with that down that road. Don't go down those road. Be forgiving and try to really understand what's going on and just listen to the stories. Let them talk. You know, I got the chance to go to Hudson, like I was telling Pam. The comfort of home in Hudson takes all of the hardest clients in the state, pretty much. They are a totally locked facility, password in and out. It's wild. I mean, I've never walked into a place and where my mom, I felt, was pretty normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, we even had her toughest times, you know, and I think a lot of times kids and stuff that bring their parents there are not knowing what to expect. They're not trained real well on, well, if your parents are dressed, it's a good day. You know, your mom's not wandering around with no pants on. That's a good day. And I'm like, oh, so we're not going to argue about if pants are on backwards, inside out, sweatshirts on backwards, whatever. Right. They are dressed. We're going to call that a win. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I guess.
But you're right, Chris. So many times the kids or the family feels ashamed by what the person did. But if you had seen their brain and the connections and the things that are having trouble with, and be like, what does it matter if they're doing their hair well or doing anything else? This person is in basic survival mode, right? Their brain is scrambled. So let's give them some slack. And to not see people as crazy or, you know, cuckoo or whatever, it's like they have a brain disease. It's affecting them. So how can I come to terms as a child of somebody with a disease to kind of be accepting and realize that it might take a weird turn? Like, Phil, you've talked some stories about odd things that were said or, you know, having to talk to somebody in an empty chair. Those things happen because this person's living in a dream and they can't help it. So don't get embarrassed or yelling at them or feeling shame yourself. It's like our brain is weird and it just got stranger. And rather than say, okay, this is the disease happening, and you never believe the strange thing I saw happen. But instead of feeling shame or resisting it, let's just say, okay, this is part of the disease. And so I think that's really important that people come to terms with it in a way that doesn't make them or the other person feel bad.
Mm-hmm. I felt like I was losing it a few times when I had to cuss out somebody that wasn't there in a chair just to appease her. But, you know,
I
made her happy that I yelled at this person.
This
and told
is where
them,
your skills as improvisational theater.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
Or working with Henry.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Speaking about talking to somebody that's not there in a chair.
And I think that's a big part of it, Pam. You just have to learn how to laugh.
Yeah,
you have to learn how to do some of that. You know, I'll finish on my portion of it with my mom as being the three amigos, as I called them. My mom was the ringleader of the three, so if this will tell you where this is going. But Hudson was developed in a circle, so it was just one big circle. I'm guessing the three ladies walked 100 a day, probably 100 miles. Anyway, I mean, they never sat down. Every time I talked to the workers, they would all go together. They all thought they were from Gotham or similar outlining areas. I've never met any of them in my life, but my mom swore they were all really good best friends. I'm like, Mom, it's great to meet them. You know, and they just walked. That's all they did. And as long as it was the best thing for the workers because it kept my mom, moving physically. Everything else was good. But the three amigos, but the last day with my mom, one of them walked in. The one was out in the hallway having a ruckus at night. She was just having a fit. The other nice one walked in and said, looked at Mom, I got to go. And she walked out. Wasn't half hour. Mom passed. Wow. But the lady was having, so all the other two that hung out with my mom nonstop for over almost a year knew.
Right.
There was something odd. Yeah. But it was also a full moon on Friday.
Yeah.
So if you ever work in a facility and people talk about a full moon, trust me, it's real.
I've heard
and
that.
That's something
I was there. Yeah. I know for a fact.
And there's something. We really have to appreciate the people that are willing to work.
Yes.
There's a real struggle right now with having enough people to work. But you really have to, you know, these people are living it day after day. And so if we can appreciate those workers that work in healthcare that have learned how to handle people and not, you know, set them off or whatever, you know, I think that there's a big kudos for that, for the police, the sheriff, you know, all these people who are kind of putting up with the odd behavior of people we have, but learning how to do it well. And so, yeah.
So, Pam, I'm going to put it back in your court because I feel it's very, very a strong thing and I feel it's very vital, is business training.
Yeah.
With my mom's wandering tendencies and with things like that. I really feel businesses need to contact you about that.
And the other thing is, we don't realize what I've learned in doing trainings for the last 8 years is that often the employer doesn't know that the people working for them, their employees, are caregivers. So you were just saying the other day how you have a great boss who's, you know, accommodating to you. But I think businesses need to realize that the people working for them are often caregivers, and they're going through the struggles that you're describing, and they're not realizing why that person is late or why that person may come to work frazzled, that we really need to appreciate that this is so common in the community that the whole community is dealing with it, whether it's somebody that owns a business, whether it's an employee, that this is happening all the time. Statistics are it's, you know, 1 in 9 people over 65 has one of the forms of dementia. And so it's common enough that we need to be aware as employers that it's not only your customers, but maybe also your employees are dealing with some form of this disease.
And I think employers have to take into consideration that if you're worried about employees abusing the system, where if as an employee gets a phone call and all of a sudden they have to bolt, please don't have them give you a long page at that time of why. Let them do that, and then you can come back and talk about it. But you really need to get educated. I talk a lot about on my podcast stuff is you need to know everything going on with all of your employees, every one of them that's underneath you, because you just never know how life's changing. But if they get that phone call, and if you're worried about employees, I would take a look at your employees. If you really think they're going to abuse this scenario of, hey, I just got a call, I got to go, mom's either walking, because my mom literally would leave Harvest in a matter of 10 minutes, be across town over by Henning's Fish House in a matter of minutes. And so at that time, especially come winter, rain, colds, especially now coming into this time of year, we see a lot more and more rise in when people wander, the deaths start to roll up, where it's not summer where you got a little more time. We're talking.
And we see more silver alerts too, where somebody gets in an automobile and takes off.
Yeah. And I will say also that there's a lot of devices. So Project Lifesaver is great. If somebody wanders, they have a tracking device. But there's a lot of technology now where they can kind of put an invisible fence if somebody wanders outside a certain area. The technology on this is just booming. And so there's a lot more devices than were even there. Things that are medication minders. You don't realize how much that would help you if this person could still feel dependent, because people with dementia still want to feel independent. If they had a device that only released the medicine at the time or made, you know, spoke out reminders. There's so much technology now that can help somebody stay at home longer that it's really important to find out for that. But I do want to really appreciate that Chris is doing this for the Alzheimer's Association. Yeah. I think it's a name you hear, but you don't always realize they're on the cutting edge of getting research done. They put billions into developing those new medications. They're putting a lot into research that's finding the different kinds of dementia. And then they have all the online resources. And so I do want to mention they even have a 800 number you can call that you can get from the ADRC that if you're in the middle of the night and you're worried about something happening, that they have a 24/7 number where you can call people. So there's a lot that the Alzheimer's Association offers and also the ADRC offers in terms of caregiver support.
I think you don't have to worry right now about phone numbers, us giving them to you.
Right.
Remember ADRC of Richland County or your local ADRC. Just go into your ADRCs. They can direct you in the right people. I mean, if I tried to remember phone numbers I heard online or anywhere else, like we were just talking about devices, if somebody did that. But remember your ADRCs have more than just Aging Disability Resource Center. They are a resource center for the whole county. Right. So they can point you in a general direction. But then the last thing is making sure you have your affairs in order. Make sure your parents have who's getting, not so much, but who's going to take over if they can't legally make that decision. Not so much that your funeral and everything is planned, but start with at least who is going to take over for me making the correct choices for me.
Actually, the ADRC is doing power of attorney for healthcare clinics several times throughout the year at the community center. And so there's a coalition for the health of Richland County that is going to do some clinics. I would say that's the number one thing is get that power of attorney. I've seen a lot of crisis happen that didn't need to because people didn't get their papers in order. So
thanks for coming in today, you guys. We appreciate it.
No problem, Phil. Thank you so much.
Good luck with your benefit coming up on the 7th at the Phoenix Center. I think it would be fun just to go down and even if you're not bowling, just go down and watch it. And
come and watch. Put it. Buy raffle tickets. 50-50 raffle, whatever. Support Amy and Greg down there. They're doing a phenomenal job putting it on. Buy a lunch, whatever it may be. But we'll be there most of the day. It's like I said, 12 teams, 13 games. So we'll be there a while.
Awesome. We appreciate what you do. Pam Kohlberg joining us here today, dementia care specialist, and Chris Gerber. Thanks for your heartfelt things and talked about there with your mother. That was
thanks,
awesome.
Phil.
You bet.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more tomorrow on The Morning Show.
It's been said, a goal without a plan is just a wish. This is Nick Hodge at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. It's our goal to provide your family the very best service possible. That goal is the easiest to achieve with planning. Our plan is helping you pre-plan your arrangement. Plans can be as simple or as detailed as you desire. We'll help you create the service you desire and make sure your plan addresses all your concerns at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
This is Heather from the Creative Outlet Consigned Clothing Store, where our gift